All right, class, we're in a virgin territory in the body of Christ at large. It's apostolic supernatural doors that are being opened in this school at this point. Fresh territories that I think will increase your anointing, surpassing all natural realm. We're going to talk about two major things. I talked about them on our last session, but I want to reemphasize them, and I may go over some of the same thing. I want to introduce to you an insight that will change your life personally and all aspect of ministry that you're called to. And it's coming out of the book of Ephesians. And it changed the whole spectrum of how we pray, or how we operate in faith, etc. So I don't know, I may have given this to you, but I want to reemphasize these two words, grace and faith. And I'll go over and over this again. Grace has to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and God given to him to us as a gift to sanctify or stabilize or come to a realization of the body of Christ. But I want you to make sure you get this, because it's going to change your prayer life, it's going to change everything, that grace means your ownership, that you own everything that God has purchased through Christ and provided for you throughout the scriptures, every promise, every revelation, every insight, through the grace of God, you already have it. You already got it. Now that's powerful. Then the connecting force is grace is ownership, faith is stewardship. Now, what that mean, Apostle? That mean that instead of you constantly asking God for something, you have enough revelation to recognize you already have it, but your faith, stewardship, your ownership, or was your faith to take on a new dimension now? I said to you earlier in my introduction, most Christians spend their entire life chasing something they already have. Think about that. Meditate that. I said to you, they're always asking the Lord to do something, to bless, to heal, to deliver, or prosper them, when in truth, they are seeking what they already been given. Now, I know there's a whole new spectrum, but that's why God sent you to this school. I know there's a whole new category here, because you're going to have to focus, because this is bringing you into a realm of dominion. And the people that you train, they're going to be able to see that it's finished. Jesus already have accomplished everything, but he sent the Holy Spirit to enlighten us to function in an anointing that will empower us to live beyond the norm. So, again, they're always asking the Lord to do something. See, Lord, will you do this for me? And when the Lord is saying to us, I've already carried it out, it's already done. Now, this will have a substantial grip on your faith. You're going to live different, talk different, pray different, read different, preach different, teach different. But that's why God sent you to this school. Now, you're going to have to meditate this you're going to have to kill a lot of religious dogs. They're going to be barking at you, biting at you. But that's when you get into Revelation that happened. I've come to many over these 53 years where I got bit many times by a religious dog biting and they want to hold me in tradition value. But you don't, you must realize the enlightenment, not excitement, not just excitement, it's going to excite you, but the enlightenment is going to bring to your portion of life, your portion of prayer, your portion of faith. When you're using faith as stewardship of your ownership in spiritual rights through the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, they believe God can do anything, but not that he has past tense done very much. That's what we got to look at. So I said, however, the book of Ephesians was written from an entirely different perspective. Everything has already been accomplished in Christ and given to the born-again believer. That is so powerful. So it's both already done and already out. Now think about your prayer life now. Think about your faith. A victorious Christian isn't seeking victory. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But rather enforcing the victory. Not trying to receive victory, but enforcing the victory, which already won through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're not trying to win a battle. This is going to take a whole lot of pressure off everything. We're coming from a battle that already had been won. Jesus has conquered, and we enforcing his conquest. That's Romans 8:37. Look at that with me, Romans 8:37. That is so powerful. Hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Think about that. Think about what the scripture said. Now we, in all, no matter what, no, I don't have to hustle and bustle. When God say I'm healed, I'm healed. My body may say something else. My mind may be saying something else. But by me knowing by faith that I'm healed, whatever I'm dealing with, going to have to leave. Finances, same way. Confrontation, the same way. Romans 8:37, that's a powerful scripture. As believers, we're not trying to get something from God. I'm repeating this on purpose. We're fighting to receive the full of manifestation of what already ours in Christ. I want you to go over that over and over again because it's revealing such a great realm and a great dimension and a great dominion. So we aren't trying to get healed. We're fighting because we've already been healed. And the devil is trying to steal it. Let me give you a revelation here. In John 10:10, it says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Now, the only way the thief can steal, kill, and destroy is that you don't keep the word planted in your heart. Whatever revelation you're standing on, whatever word you're standing on, you have to keep it planted. You cannot just memorize it. The revelation and the anointing and the power that is in that word must be kept planted in your heart by meditation, by even repetition, going over it, keeping it planted. And then when the enemy come, he can't mess with you because the second part of that 10th verse, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, might have it. Then he said again, might have it more abundantly. There's two mites there if you don't keep it planted. Now, John 10:10 if handled rightfully, leads us to Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power working in us is to keep the word that we're standing on planted in our heart, running our soul, running our mind, even running time. You got that? Running our soul, running our mind, and even running time. In other words, time does not determine how you're going to come out. That's powerful. So we're unbegging God to prosper us financially. We're fighting a good fight of faith to see the prosperity that has already been given to us to manifest. Powerful statement. We aren't asking God to bless us because he already commanded his blessing on us. The blessing of the Lord make us rich. He had no sorrow with it. I believe that's Proverbs 10:22. Or you can look it up. Through believing, we already got it. That's what I want you to get. It's my class for you. This is a new apostolic anointing that will be put on you in this class. You're going to have to go over and over again because your mind, you're going to have arguments with it. I had arguments with it. But if you look at it in reality, a lot of things we're fighting for, everything we're fighting for spiritually is already out. And the book of Ephesians will give us the grip on it in the aspect of grace, ownership, and faith stewardship. So it is by grace through faith. Through believing we already got it, talking like we already got it, and acting like we already got it, we appropriate what the Lord has provided. Now, I want to go into some places now with you. I'm going to ask some questions. I'm going to make some statements. And this question is going to be a shaker, I know. And what I'm trying to place in your life to cut some of these things out. And the question is, how desperate are you? Shouldn't be. Desperate comes from the Latin word meaning despair. And so let's look at some dictionary definition. Reckless or violent because of despair. Driven to take any risk. Undertaken as a last result. Nearly hopeless, critical, grave, desperate, illness, marked by arising from or showing despair, despairing, the desperate look of hunger, in an unbearable situation because of need of anxiety, desperate for recognition, extreme because of fear, danger, or suffering greatly, in desperate need, the synonym for despair, hopelessness, desperation, despondency, depression, discouragement, and dejection. We want to get rid of all that. It will all be wiped out. Once you understand, it will come up in life. But it'll all be wiped out because you already know I'm already provided for. All these nouns denote emotional state marked by lowliness of spirit or loss of hope. Despair and hopelessness, stress, the utter absence of hope, and often imply a sense of powerlessness or resignation. Desperation imply absence of ground for hope, but add the idea of fighting back, often blindly or recklessly, in a way. When you sing, Lord, I'm desperate for you, what do you mean? Are you saying, Lord, I'm in love with you and want you more than anything else? If so, that's fine. But according to the dictionary, you're really saying, I'm in despair because of this extremely unbearable situation. I got to give this to you, Claire. There are no ground for hope, but I'm anxiously, recklessly, and violently fighting back anyway. If that's what you mean by being desperate for the Lord, it's absolutely wrong. The only reason for a Christian to be desperate is if that person doesn't understand what God has already done. I want to repeat that. And I know all of y'all go through that. So don't sit there like you don't know what I'm saying. We pray hours and hours for something that's already out. We worry about because something looked like it's going wrong. To be leaders, you're going to have proof in your life that you've overcome these things. Here, I want you to make a note of this. I'm going to give you 4 points on it. The Lord has already blessed us, healed us, delivered us, and prospered us. What does that mean? It's already done. The Lord has already blessed you. The Lord has already healed you. The Lord has already delivered you. And the Lord has already prospered you. Meditate that. Feed on that. Now, regular, even the word of faith, the full gospel, the Church of God in Christ, it might be some of y'all name, the Baptists, Methodists, they don't teach this. The Lord has already blessed you. The Lord has already healed you. The Lord has already delivered you. And the Lord has already prospered you. Now, I'm going to tell you who don't want you to know that. Satan don't want you to know that. He wants you to use your faith trying to get God to do something that he has already done. Wow. 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 Listen to me. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the apostle here. Satan don't want you to know that you're already blessed. You're already healed. You're already delivered. And you're already prospered. And the word of faith, in the word of faith, I've been in many years, we didn't teach that. We had a lot of faith conferences, and we taught a lot about faith, moving mountain. But actually, the mountain already moved. Oh, my goodness. You got authority over a mountain, like Mark 11, 22, 20 to 24 says. But with knowing this, that you rightfully has victory already, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory, 1 John 5:4, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, under that statement, I want to give A, B, C, D, 3, 4 points. The only reason to be hopeless, helpless, and in despair is if we don't know who we are and what we have in Christ. Train people like that. Just like I'm training you. You train people like that. When they come to you, use your grace and faith stewardship and train them of the divine insight and illumination that you're receiving in this class. Secondly, we need a full revelation of what Jesus, excuse me, has done for us. Not trying to get him to do something, what he has done. Thirdly, that doesn't mean you don't ever have problems. But in the midst of them, we can say, Father, you've already supplied this before I ever had the need. I know it's there, so I'm drawing near to you. Thank you for revealing it to me. Come on, Claire. And then, as a Christian, and as the people you're training, should never be hopeless or full of despair because everything in John 6:35. Now, write these notes, these scriptures. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Meditate that scripture. He's already done it. In John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of that water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The Lord doesn't come to those who just passively seek him. We must pursue him wholeheartedly. In Jeremiah 29, 11 and 13, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Right, get those scriptures down. And this is a clear, profound statement. I've been saying it since the class started. God has already given us everything. Once you get a grip on that, with grace ownership and faith stewardship, and you're using your faith to activate, what's already yours. There's a well of living water on the inside of every born-again believer. It's not time to ask him to come and touch us. It's time for us to start taking, eating, and drinking what he already has given us. You see where we're at, Clarence? See, we're past just having faith conferences and trying to make faith do things. That faith is designed by revelation to partake of what God already has done, what God has already provided. Man, we're talking about never thirsting, never hungering. We're talking about flowing in the Spirit. Now, let's see. I want to look at some other things here. The only reason for a Christian to be desperate is if that person doesn't understand what God has already done. I'm going to go over this over and over again. The Lord has already blessed us, healed us, delivered us, prospered us. He loves us, and nothing will ever change that. The only reason to be hopeless, helpless, and in despair is if we don't know who we are and what we have in Christ. We need a full revelation of what Jesus had done for us. That doesn't mean we won't ever have problems. But in the midst of them, class, we can say, Father, you have already supplied this. Before I ever had the need, I know it's there, so I'm drawing near to you. Thank you for revealing it to me. Christians should never be hopeless or full of despair. Bring me something. All right, class, I'm pausing a while because I got to go slow with this because this, as I say, is sort of virgin territory, so I got to make sure that I handle my notes properly. Now, believers do experience hunger in the sense that they feel empty and God seems like he's a million miles away, but when you experience that, it's wrong to approach him saying, oh, Lord, I just don't feel your love. Please love me. Do something to show me you care. Or you might as well have said, God, you haven't done anything, because you're blaming him for your feeling of emptiness and hunger. Listen, I've learned that God loved me infinitely more than I can ever comprehend or need. He can't love me more, give me any more love than what I already have. Instead of giving in to hunger, discouragement, despair, I remind myself of God's word. The word says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. This in Psalm 34:1. This isn't telling you to just fake it till you make it. Well, this is talking about drawing out what's inside of you. As I draw on the joy that God has already placed within my born-again spirit, I live consistently a victorious life. Listen, in the midst of great adversity, I experience continuous joy and peace. It's not because I've never tempted with the other, but because I know in my heart that God has already done his part. We're talking about it being already done. We're talking about what Ephesians teaches in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it's already out. See, you're going to be a new breed of teachers, a new breed of preachers, because you're going to be walking in the fulfillment of his finish. Jesus said on the cross, John 19:30, it is finished. Your ministry will be operating out of the finished work of Christ. Therefore, you will be able to write this down, to bring people to the revelation of Ephesians 4:11-16, because that's where we're working from. Ephesians 4:11-16 has been left out because of a lack of the fivefold ministry gift, or the apostolic and the prophetic being locked in and training the other, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. Deeper dimension, a deeper realm of the spirit world. I went through that for many years. I was under Prophet Kennedy Hagin for many years, which helped me a whole lot. And then I was called to be an apostle. They sing desperate songs. They sing, I'm so desperate, hung. Oh God, where are you? I'm just a poor warfare and pilgrim, and it's so miserable down here. That's a lie. I've had total success in my ministry for 53 years. Different stages. Every stage you go through is a learning process. It's coming to a point where at that level you can trust God, because they're getting you ready for the next level. Instead, I pray, Father, I know this isn't right when you're going through something. That isn't what you've done. Your word showed me that you already blessed me. I praise you for what you have done. I start focusing on the Lord and his word and draw out his abundant life from within me. Are you hearing that? Next time you go through something, I want you to do that. The Lord has already done everything, class. However, if you're not seeing it manifest, it's not God who hasn't given, but you who haven't received. Come with me as I take you on a journey that will teach you how to receive what God has already done. Now, here's a statement that I want to implement in this class, and it may shake you up this next chapter I'm entering to. Check your receiver. Check your receiver. Because Ephesians was written from the perspective of what has already taken place. So Paul had an open comment in this letter, Ephesians 1 through 3, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which is at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from our Lord. Now grace be to you. What grace mean? And that grace bring peace, because once you know that you already own all that God had done for you, no matter what come up, what attack you in ministry, what attack you in life, you have peace because you know you're already provided for. Grace be to you and peace from our God, from God our Lord, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, those three verses, I want you to meditate them, because they're going to bring you to an understanding of this new field in the spirit, apostolic setting, and prophetic word God wants us to walk in. Notice the terminology here. Blessed be God who has, past tense. It's already been done. What? Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's already blessed us, so you don't have to pray for it as if you're trying to get it. You pray in a matter with thanksgiving that is already yours. Almost a confessional prayer. Almost a demanding prayer. Really? All spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ is just an old English way of expressing the truth that God has already blessed you with everything, and it is in the spirit realm. Everything that God has done for you has already been deposited in your born-again spirit. Now, just think about you teaching, or you preaching, or you pastoring, or you training people. Just think about how much easier you're going to be, that now you don't have to be in the faith ground and fight, but you have to operate in faith and meditate and the revelation that you have already won. Every born-again believer, Christ is in your heart. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. The kingdom of God is in your heart. Victory is in your heart. Overcoming power is already in you. You're already there. Your soul and your body and the system and Satan going to try to tell you you got to hustle to get there. But you having a revelation now that I'm already blessed with all spiritual blessing ready to manifest in my life now as I use the stewardship of my faith to tap into the ownership of my grace. I cannot, all that is in the Word of God, all the blessing, all the revelation, all the dominion, all the victory is already mine. So look at your prayer life now. Look at your faith life. Look at your Bible reading life. It's all be different now. You're not trying to get God to do something. He's already done everything. Class, are you with me? The key is keeping the word planted in your heart. Meditate that word. Read it. Get off by yourself and hear what God is saying. Everything that God has done for you has already been deposited in your born-again spirit. Although it's already there, listen, class, you must draw it out of the spirit and into the physical realm. You must draw it there, but you, with your faith and with your anointing and which your love for God must draw it out. Stay still. Be still and know I'm God. Draw it out in the earth's realm. Now, if we ask someone for something they knew we already had, how would they respond to us? If we ask someone for something they knew we already had, how would they respond? They'd probably be awkward silent, or sound a lot like God often respond to us. We ask him, God, for something that's already ours. In Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 18:20, he said, well, two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. When we ask God for what he has already given us, we're letting our sense dominate us. When we ask God for what he has already given us, we're letting our senses dominate us. We're not in the spirit. We're in the sense realm. Or we're riding in a religious truck. Wherever you are right now, there are television signals all around you. Just because you cannot perceive them with your five natural senses doesn't mean they're not present. When you turn on and tune in your television set is when you started receiving, but it's not when the station began broadcasting. It's comparing. It is already yours. God is the giver of all earthly and spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3, and he already transmitted them to you, class. Let me say these two things and I'm going to close. If you aren't seeing them manifest in your life, the problem isn't with God's transmitter. You need to fix your receiver. Because he said in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So class, remember, we're in territory where grace means ownership, faith means stewardship, and everything that is right for yours because of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension and seated position of Jesus Christ, your faith can go into the ownership. No more begging, no more lagging, no more hours and hours wondering what's happening. I want to train you personally in that category that what the people you train, you'll be able to train them in the reality of the fact that blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. It is finished. We've already won. Every situation, whatever you're dealing with now, personally, you are a winner. You're in victory. Thanks be to God who gives our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that verse will make more sense to you. I think it's 1 John 5:1. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because you understand that you got the right to live within the grace production of God. God bless you. I'll see you next class.